In 1979, an IMF negotiator met Julius Nyerere, Tanzania's socialist president, and urged him to weaken the country's currency. "I will devalue the shilling over my dead body," Nyerere fumed afterwards. Over the next decade, many African leaders took similar stands. But faced with worsening terms of trade and foreign currency shortages, they eventually let their currencies slide. Tanzania bowed to the inevitable in 1986 after Nyerere had left office. Most African exchange rates are now about where markets think they should be. Could governments go further? An undervalued currency makes a country's exports cheaper and so acts as an implicit subsidy to firms that sell abroad. That can counterbalance institutional failures, such as the difficulty of enforcing contracts, which hurt exporters more than they do local businesses, barbers, taxi drivers, and the like. Exposure to world markets also helps companies learn and improve. Danny Roderick of Harvard University argues that governments in developing countries should not simply aim for an equilibrium exchange rate, as the IMF would urge, but actively engineer undervaluation. That may entail measures such as capital controls or reserve accumulation. Some Asian countries, including China, adopted this strategy as they industrialized. Empirical studies suggest that undervaluation boosts growth, and more so in poor countries than in rich ones. Strange, then, that those African countries that do manage their currencies are still trying to prop them up. Nigeria restricts access to foreign exchange to keep the Naira strong. Ethiopia's drive to become an Asian-style hub for export manufacturing has been hindered by an overvalued birr, though a new IMF program could weaken it. A group of 8, mostly Francophone West African countries, are changing the name of their currency, but not, tellingly, the rate at which it is pegged to the euro. The last devaluation, in 1994, sparked riots. A tendency to keep the currency strong is built into the structure of African economies.